You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stans by stans. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. In this episode, we're going to be talking about keeping your stan life and your real life, quote unquote, separate.
Or if you should even keep them separate at all.
Yes. And then we're going to talk about Solange's album, A Seat at the Table. Mm-hmm. Let's get it started.
All right, so in this week's episode, we are going to start by talking about what it's like to keep your stan life separate from your real life, or pretty much like your day-to-day life, whether you're a student or you have a job, because the stan life is real life in a way. It's a part of your real life, but just how you kind of have to balance those two things and how sometimes it can be a struggle. So, Kay, where do we start with this?
I mean, I guess we can talk about keeping it a secret.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of pressure to keep the stan life secret. And I think this goes back to like what we talked about in the first episode even, and just the quintessential definition of what a stan is. It's kind of this really overzealous version of a fan. And I guess sometimes people just don't feel comfortable screaming that out, you know, in the lunchroom or in the cafeteria or wherever you are in your life. Admitting that, like, you're this deep into it kind of thing. It's kind of like on Hey Arnold with Helga's, like, shrine for Arnold. Yes. She keeps it, like, very closed and secret. Just, I don't know, just because it's kind of become this taboo thing to be that involved with pop culture, whatever it is. It's really weird, but I definitely think that, like, in the years that I've been a stan, quote unquote, I've felt a lot of pressure to keep that part a secret, which is why it's crazy that I'm even talking about it now on a podcast.
Like, right. But for me, it was more like embarrassment, because people that don't know much about the stan world, obviously they're gonna think, oh, well, she's a fangirl. You know, fangirls have a bad rep, right? So for me, it was just like, I'm embarrassed for anybody to even find this.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do things like not use their full name on their accounts, or even their real name. Like on my account, I don't use my full name. It's just a nickname. So when I like met you in person, when you called me Kay, honestly, like if I saw you in a crowded room, I wouldn't have even answered to that because none of my friends or family called me that.
Right.
K is just a shortened version of my actual nickname. My nickname is KT, and that's what everybody calls me. But I probably wouldn't even answer to K if I like met you and we were in a crowded area.
Right. Like, and so I did that as well. Like there have been, I mean, I wouldn't say no one has ever called me Gigi, but like, I mean, I go by like a million names because my full name is so complicated, but that's definitely a nickname that not as many people use. And so it was like the safest, because the other nicknames are still very unique to me, and they're not that they're not that common. So I definitely chose the one that was like the most ambiguous, I guess, to like throw onto my stan account, because especially now with social media, like you make a stan Twitter and you make this account and you go from like the first couple months you have like a couple hundred followers, but 6 months later you have like upwards of like 3,000 to 5,000, because it's just, you know, these stans are just gravitating towards each other, and you know, you grow to have this pretty solid not fan base but following on social media. And so you never know, like this world is so damn small, and you never know like who happened to go to college with you or who happens to know your sibling who lives in this other state or whatever. And it can be, you know, if you are trying to keep it secret that you're this involved, like it can definitely be nerve-wracking, like, oh my god, I'm going to be exposed or something like that. But yeah, so like talk a little bit about like how you've, I don't know, like I'm assuming you also have become a little bit more open.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm like, I don't really care as much. Because for one, if somebody asks me, well, how did you meet the person you do your podcast with? What am I going to say?
Yeah.
What, blackpeoplemeet.com? Black no. You know what I mean?
Stan Twitter.
Right, Stan Twitter. And I mean, my friends know that I went to Houston to go to a Fifth Harmony concert, you know, and my friends know that I went to Dallas for literally 24 hours to go to a Beyonce concert.
Right.
So they know that I'm a music fan a little bit deeper than they are. Mm-hmm. So, like, now, for me, it's not, like, that big of a deal to really keep it a secret. I still don't use my full name on there simply because everybody that follows me on it calls me by my, you know, my nickname.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, I don't really care if anybody sees it now because, one, I feel like it's probably because I'm not as deep into it as I used to be. Mm-hmm. So I got the embarrassing stuff out of the way
early on.
Right. So like it's a little bit more relatable, I guess, for people that like are casual fans. So yeah. I don't know. I'm still not going to like link my Twitter on here. Right. If you find me, you find me. But
if you find it, good luck. But
right.
But yeah, so I deleted my main separate Stan account a year ago when I graduated college. And so and then it like just so happened that me deleting that account, I kind of just became more comfortable in my being a fangirl. Like I didn't really feel like it was something I needed to hide anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can even tell on my main personal account, which is public, that I'm so open with like showing my standom. Like there were days where like I didn't want to tweet about certain artists that I liked because I was just like, oh, like so-and-so is going to judge me or like whatever. Now it's just, I don't care. Like, I don't care that I'm tweeting about Beyonce 5 times a day. Mm-hmm. If you're following me, like you're going to deal, or otherwise the unfollow button is free. Like, right, just like, go ahead, you know? And so like, there definitely was this moment for me, like where I kind of was just becoming more comfortable in my skin anyway, to the point where, you know, even though I didn't have my Stan account, like I still felt comfortable publicly just being myself and owning that part of me. Cause like, it is a huge part of like who I am. Right. And I think my friends and people who follow me, like they've come to just accept it and understand that that's a part of who I am. And, you know, but it definitely took up until last year, 2015, you know, and we're talking like almost my entire life of being a fan of one thing or another and keeping it secret. Like I had posters of B5 or Taylor Swift, or, you know, I was on a message board for Grey's Anatomy, and like not even my closest friends at school, who I considered my best friends, knew that I was involved in any of that. You know, they just didn't, because I didn't want to, like, I was like, they're going to think I'm crazy. And like, and so, but like, and then one last thing is just, I think in general, standing for people, for quote unquote regular people, has become more normalized. Like, I feel like it's become super mainstream to just show your standing and not be ashamed of it. Like, those things have become such a huge part of online culture that everyone's, like, you know, saying, like, oh, my God, I stand for her dress, or I stand for this, or I stand for that. And so, in general, just this obsessive nature and this fangirl culture, I think, has become something that people are just owning in general. So now those of us who are kind of, you know, were a little bit marginalized and felt like we couldn't speak up are now like a part of the whole thing, and you know, with everybody else.
I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, y'all, there's a whole different side of Twitter that y'all have no idea that exists. I'm always telling them, it's like, have you ever seen those accounts where it's like a celebrity is the icon or whatever? And they're like, yeah, I never really understood what that was
they
about. And I'm like, that's Stan Twitter.
You have to like break it down to them. Like, that's what's crazy.
Yes, I'm like, that's Stan Twitter. I'm probably one of those people, you know? And it's like, in the beginning, I remember, I think I had a picture of myself as my icon on my Stan
account. Those people are bold.
And I didn't know. I'm like, well, oh, I didn't know that nobody posts pictures over here. So I had to like, you have to like learn it. It's a lot of things that you learn over time about it, that it's like, it's so crazy. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, you don't use your real name, or if you do, you might put a dot in your name or something like that, so nobody can search your name.
Yeah,
or
like, you can be tweeting with someone on Stan Twitter for months, maybe even years, and, like, not know their race, not know what they look like, not know their
crazy.
Real name.
I mean, there are a few people that I do talk to all the time, that I talk to every single day, and I consider them acquaintances, if not friends, and I don't even know what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
I talk
crazy.
To you every day.
Yeah,
I talk to you literally every day. So it's like, it does sound kind of weird. And that's one of the reasons why I just kept it to myself. Because I'm like, you won't get it. So I'm not even going to try to explain it to you.
Right.
Because people still have that kind of mentality of the internet is a big, bad, scary place. Stop talking to strangers type thing going mm-hmm. on. So, you know, a stan account, that's what that is. You're talking to a bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
Like,
but I mean, I didn't know that you were up the road for me. There's going to be other people like you on there as well who exactly. are completely normal, who are literally just kind of looking for a community to gather and to talk about, like, your favorite artist or whatever. And honestly, it's not like you're on there talking about certain artists, like, a lot, but that's mm-hmm. not the only thing that people are on there talking about. Like, you talk about life issues, politics, you know, it's everything. And it's just kind of building a space to do that with like-minded people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like sports, like on my personal, I have a lot of like sports fans. So like they meet up every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and Saturday for college football, and they talk about football.
Yeah.
And you know, they talk stats and they mm-hmm. talk, they, you know, they talk numbers and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's the exact same thing, but with music. It's like, it's just weird that like nobody else has to make a separate account for it,
mm-hmm.
but music stands. And then the music is always pop music or like pop adjacent, I guess.
Yeah.
But
pop adjacent.
You know, like it's never, besides like Beyonce, but she's like, she is pop culture, but you don't see Jasmine Sullivan stands with a different account.
Mm-hmm.
They tweet on their personals, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just really weird that keeping it separate is such a big thing. It is a really big thing. Like, I have people that I know have stan accounts blocked because mm-hmm. I just don't want them to talk to me about it, like, at all.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, because you think you'd want somebody in real life to talk to you about it, but it's like,
sometimes you're talking about, you might be talking about them on your stan account.
Oh, and that's another thing. Yeah, like I talk about more than just music. Like you said, you know, you talk about personal things and stuff like that. And I don't want somebody I know to be like, oh, hey, you know, Kayla was talking about whatever, right. whatever with you. But sometimes it's just nice to vent to people that don't know the situation, whatever it may be. You know, some people just want an account or a side, you know, like area on the internet where you can kind of like do whatever and not have like your school find it or your job, whatever. Like,
exactly.
Sometimes it's deeper than just, you know, wanting to talk about music. Sometimes you really just want to act an ass.
Yeah.
And
well, and I'm not acting an ass on this account, but like I do now, like I deleted my stan account last year, but I realized like I felt a void when I deleted that account in the mm-hmm. sense that I didn't have a space to vent where like no one knew who I right. was or where I worked or where I went to school. And it started bothering me. And I know I could have just like gone and bought a journal. But like right. to me, like I just like doing it in 140 characters or less. So a couple of months after deleting that, it might have even been weeks, I created a different account, which is private. And I think I only have like 16 followers on it. It's mostly just me talking and tweeting stuff that I want to talk about that, you know, I may not be able to talk about on my personal, which has become a lot more public and is connected to my job and where I work and everything like that. And sometimes right. you just need like a diary of sorts that happens to be a Twitter account to just be able to vent and feel like you can just get stuff out. So I definitely did have to create something else after I deleted my stan account because I didn't even realize how much that helped me.
Mm-hmm.
But it did. And so that, yeah, that definitely was a huge part of why, like, I felt like I needed to keep it secret.
Well, I do act the ass on my stan account quite often, actually. But I act the ass on my personal, too. I said, if I ever, like, whenever I get hired somewhere for whatever job I want to do in the future,
mm-hmm.
I might have to delete my personal. Maybe. Before I'd even have to delete my stan account,
yeah.
because I act ass on both. I mean, honestly, I don't care.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, there's some things that I can joke about on my stan account that I know people would kind of, like, either not find funny or even frown at
mm-hmm.
On my personal. So, those, I mean, like, all of those reasons are the reasons why I still have it, because there's still time, there are times where I feel like I'm not, like I said, I'm not as invested in it as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I don't check it all day like I used to.
Oh my God.
And, yeah, I mean, I used to be on it like every
hour.
Yeah,
when I had my stan account, I like never tweeted on my personal.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Like, if you want to be a complete stalker and, like, look at tweets from, like, summer and fall 2014 all the way to, like, spring, summer 2015, mm-hmm. there are, like, little to no tweets on my
yes,
personal.
Same. I just started tweeting more on my personal. I still, like, have, like, six-hour blocks throughout the day where, or, like, sometimes I'll go full days without tweeting. I just think that there's more to talk about on your stan account because the pop world, it never stops moving,
right.
you know?
Right.
On my personal, it's like, it's the same thing every day. It's like a men versus women debate, you know? And it's like,
day old memes because you know that all the great memes like originate on Stan Twitter.
Exactly. Oh, that's another thing. Like a lot of people don't realize. Like my friend will send me things and I'm like, I saw that like
a week
two weeks ago.
Stan Twitter is really truly the pulse of pop culture on the internet. You like it's the center of that universe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean like we know something happened when it happened, not an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I saw people talking about Kim Kardashian last night. When it, like, as soon as the reports came out, and then an hour later, I got on my personal, and that's when they started talking about
it. Right,
right. You know, so it's like, it's things like that where you're just a little bit more up to date. It's just a little place where you can talk to people and make friends and stuff. Like, there are people that I definitely want to meet, and I hope I do eventually, you know what I mean? Like, these are people that I do feel like I could be friends with. I have, like, a little over 5,000 followers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only, like, about 15 people that I would really, like, be interested in meeting,
right.
you know?
I'll be first in line at your meet and greet.
My number one fan.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, like, there are definitely people I want to meet, and I wish we didn't live all over the place,
yep.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's another plus about it is that you are truly meeting, quote unquote, meeting people from all over the world. And it's amazing. Like in our group chat alone, there's like, well, our group chat is, it's mostly Americans, but.
Right. It has changed a bit over time.
Yeah. It's dwindled. But I mean, we had like South Africa was representing, the UK
London.
Was representing. Like,
yeah.
you know, it
and
was...
And then it's like a bunch of different places around the country. It's
yeah.
like, even the people that I've met or talked to that are from northern states
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, me being
from the south.
The dirtiest of the dirty south. So, you know, it's like, it's, I don't know, it's just, to me, it's really cool. And I'm really, like, I always think about the account and I'm always like, I really love having my Stan account, even though I did the most trying to keep the two separate.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we do the show and I talk about the show on my Stan account, people know, for people from, you know, that follow me on the Stan account know about my personal now.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So it's just like...
It's not even a big deal.
Yeah, I don't even care anymore. But at one point, it was such a big deal to keep those things separate.
Like, right. It's insane how much I went through to do the same. But, like, one huge piece of advice to... And I don't know if, like, this makes me sound old, but, like, kids these days that are making Stan accounts, I don't know that they have that same... insecurity is like we used to, because again, I just feel like being a stan has become this mainstream thing that's not as taboo. So like, I don't know if they're feeling this as much, but like, if they are, my one piece of advice would just be to like own it. Don't let other people in your life or whatever tell you that it's weird or it's geeky or it's obviously like take precautions and like be safe. Like don't just send out your address to, you know, a bunch of random people, but like, you know, be open to like making these connections and don't feel like you have some kind of burden because someone is telling you that this isn't cool. Yeah, just don't put out all your, you know.
Yeah, don't put out all your
social
business.
Security
Come on
card.
There's still things up on my Twitter account. And you would think that I've tweeted everything about my personal life, but there are a lot of things that I just have not said about myself on my Stan account.
And
that
it's crazy because it's very tempting to overshare. Like, I'm not even going to lie.
Yes.
And, like, there are some people who I know of one Stan account in particular, and I'm not going to put their name out there, but they go by, like, a name that literally sounds like a cartoon character. And, like, I know that was not their birth name. There's no way that's their government name. And
right.
they've been a huge figure, like, in the Stan world, especially within their fandom, and yet no one knows who, like, what their name is. Like, no one. You know, like, and so I could never be at that level. towards the end of my Stan account, I'm pretty sure people knew I went to LSU.
Right.
And, like, knew I lived in Louisiana. Like, there were just tidbits. Like, people didn't know certain things. Like, I don't think I ever posted, like, a photo of myself or, like, connected that account to my personal or, like, told mm-hmm. people what I did. But I still shared like certain tidbits. And so I, you know, so it's like I said, it's definitely tempting to overshare, but the people who just don't share anything at all, that to me is like, I have so much respect for people who are able to do that.
I don't know how, because it's like you're connecting with people on a personal level at the point where it goes beyond like talking about music. And it's like, well, damn, I don't even know anything about you.
I know. Like, I'm just thinking back to some of the stands that I was, like, mutuals with, and it was kind of, like, it's not scary, but, like, it was just, like, it's kind of crazy how they were able to maintain so much secrecy, like,
for
so long.
But you know what, though? I don't have any fears that they're a weirdo, you know what I mean?
That, too.
Like, that's crazy because, you know, you would think that you think, okay, well, this person must be a weirdo. Mm-hmm. That's why they're not sharing whatever, like their real name or even just where they're from, you know? But I don't think that they're weird because they do that, you mm-hmm. know, because they keep all of that a secret or whatever.
I have respect for it. Like, it's just people do it and people stand in different ways. And for some people, that's the way they feel safest and the way they mm-hmm. enjoy themselves, the most. So I can't even judge it. I just commend both of us for being brave enough to talk about it now, because I know
we're so brave.
You know, even like a year or two ago, it would have never happened.
Hell no, I'm not talking about this goddamn Stan account. So all my friends could clown me? Yeah, right.
Well, forget them, fake friends. No. But also, if there's any friends of people, like friends of ours or like friends of people who are stans who are listening to this, like, just don't give your friend a hard time. Like, this is the way they have fun. Doesn't make them weird. Maybe, you know, sit next to them and, like, look at their timeline, learn a little bit about it. But, like, don't be judgmental. The worst thing you can do to a friend who's a stan or in the stan world is to be judgmental, because this is, it's not even that serious. They could be out doing drugs, but they're just on stan Twitter. Like.
Okay, mom. No, but listen, if any of my friends are listening, y'all, don't read mine. I'm talking about y'all. Don't read mine. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Your account's going to be private for like a month.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, stan accounts, like I said, stan accounts are cool. Don't let anybody make you think otherwise. So now we're going to get into our flops and faves of the week. As usual, it is our least favorite and favorite things that happened in the last week.
Yeah, pretty much.
So we're going to get into our fave first. So what is your fave of the week?
Well, if people were following me on Twitter, they know that, like, this week we have the same fave.
Yes.
It's A Seat at the Table by the fabulous Solange Knowles, who finally Amazing. Released an album.
About goddamn time.
Yeah, because, okay, so she released an EP in 2012 yes. called True, but her last LP, like her full-length album, was like in 2008, mm-hmm. I think. So, like, we've been waiting a damn long time for Solange Knowles to release a full-length album, and she delivered.
Did she?
Like,
she brought it to the front door like you ordered it, okay?
She just gave us everything. I don't even know where to start with this, because I just feel so, like, it's like my soul just finished eating like a full meal. Like, I just feel so full and fulfilled and satisfied. And I'm so excited to talk about it, but I really want to hear your thoughts first.
When I first started listening to it, first, I really hate albums with a bunch of interludes. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, like when I first looked at the track list or whatever, I'm like, oh my God, what are all these interludes? I really hate interludes. I don't know why.
Same.
They're just, sometimes they're really weird. Sometimes they fit. And this mm-hmm. is one of the albums where it fit.
It fits perfectly.
So,
That was my first thought. But when I first started listening to it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of what I expected sound-wise. Mm-hmm. When I got to, like, the first two songs, whatever. And then I got to Cranes in the Sky. I'm like, wait a second. Usually how I listen to an album is I listen to it all the way through. Same. And then I go back and listen to the songs that kind of like stood out. And then I listen to it all the way through again. That's kind of how I do it. Mm-hmm. So I got to Cranes in the Sky and I had to listen to that like twice. I'm like, look. Well, it's like cranes in the sky. Sometimes I don't want to feel those metal eyes. This is like good. This is like really good.
That song has one of my favorite lines in it, which is I sexed it away.
Yes. Oh,
like,
my.
Like, just listen. That whole, I'm just like, girl.
It look, like, in my notes, because I wrote a few things about the album, right? I have Cranes in the Sky, hands down the most relatable song I've ever heard in my life. I knew as soon as I heard it that it would be my favorite before I even heard the rest of the album.
Yeah.
That is my favorite song on the album. And like from what I've been seeing on Twitter and stuff like that, people that aren't even like big fans of Solange's sound, not really Solange the artist, but like the sound and I guess the genre, they really still like Cranes in the Sky. Yeah. That seems to be the song that everybody likes.
That's definitely my number two favorite song. My top favorite song is hands down FUBU. Just because I walk down the street listening to this song and I literally feel unstoppable.
Come on. All my niggas in the whole wide world. All my niggas in the whole wide world. Made the sun and make it all yours. Time for us. This shit is for us.
Like, there is just so much power. And listen, like, there's just so much power in her explicitly saying that, like, this song, this album is for us. Mm-hmm. And she also says, like, I made this song so that, like, because I wanted you guys to have this, because I wanted you guys to feel this feeling and feel like you have something all of your own. And it just feels so amazing. Like, I spent this whole week just with my girlfriends, like, you know, whether it was in our apartment or, like, at work, just talking about how hashtag seen we feel. How we feel so seen and heard because of this album. And it just feels so good to be able to put my headphones on and just have Solange take me to a place that this world that she created that's just a utopia for Black women. And it just, you know, it makes me feel so, so good. And so FUBU's definitely my top favorite song. And then number two, but like a very close second, is Cranes in the Sky.
Yeah.
Like for
sure.
I
mean, I would say like number two is probably Mad featuring Wayne.
Yes.
And because, well, you know, for one, I'm from New Orleans, so of course I love Lil Wayne. But, I mean, I can definitely admit that he has fallen off in the most recent years. But this is one of the best verses I've heard from him in a while.
Yeah.
Besides his verse on Chance the Rapper's song, No Problem, I really like that. But, yeah, like, that song for me stood out because of him. And the second verse, like, really stood out to me, and it really just made me think about how much we ignore how much he's been through in his life.
Right. Are you mad because the judge didn't give me more time? And when I tipped the suicide, I didn't die. I
remember how mad I was on that day. Man, you gotta let it go before I get up in the way. Let it go, let it go. If you compare him and Britney Spears, they've been through just about the same type of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we talk about, like, Britney's hardships and things like that, but we've never talked about Lil Wayne's, you know?
Yeah. And she's very much applauded when she makes a quote-unquote comeback, but Lil Wayne, it feels like he's just constantly had to, like, push through the mud in a way.
Right.
And I mean, this doesn't excuse, like, the shitty things that he's done
of course.
You know, in the world or, like, to other people, but just, I think specifically on this track, like, just the raw...
He sounded it's very, like, vulnerable, you know?
Yeah, like, just literally saying, like, attempted suicide. Like, I tried to kill myself, and I was mad when it, you know? Just hearing him say that and talk about that probably was why it was his best verse in ages, because it just was so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just really enjoy that, along with the fact that I just really like the lyrics in the song, you know. I got a lot to be mad about, if that ain't the truth, you know what I mean?
Listen.
And Also, I do want to say that shout out to Solange for like bringing Tweet back into my life.
Yes.
Like,
look,
I mean,
all the vocals were just so heavenly. I mean, even Kalela on the song Scales.
Put the incense on, cover up the smell, and if your voice goes down, I know you never tell. You're a superstar. You're a superstar.
Like hearing her, and you know, and she's like my cousin in my head, you know, that Ethiopian connection. Like hearing her and Solange, yeah, like hearing her and Solange harmonize, and just, it just was so, so beautiful. Like, I want to hear that when I enter the gate to heaven one day.
I like Scales because it sounds eerie in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I would love a video for that song.
I was listening to it last night and I had my lights off and I had like a candle lit and I was being like really like hashtag fake deep. And I was just kind of like sitting in my bed meditating on some shit. And it was like Scales had come on and it was so, I don't know. It sounds like the instrumental in the beginning almost sounds like something you'd hear in a, like a scary movie or something like that. I really like that song because of that, along with the fact that those are two of my faves on a track. Like, what?
Yeah, it's amazing. But no, so you mentioned Lil Wayne, and then of course, like Master P was on the album throughout in a couple of the interludes. So like New Orleans was like representing a lot
legend
through this album.
Ooh,
you know,
I was hype as hell.
Right. And so, and that was something I was really looking forward to with this album because, you know, Solange has been living in New Orleans for the past few years. And so, you know, just anytime I heard that she was working on her album in one way or another, I was like, okay, like, I can't wait to hear how living in New Orleans has affected her artistry, because it's definitely something she always has talked about in the last few years as being something that, you know, how the city inspires her and whatnot. And so I really was excited to hear New Orleans on this. And so, but like, I want you to talk about that first since it's your city. And
well, for me, it was like, I remember when I was listening to it, I'm like, wait, is this Master P? Like, I said that, I'm like, I paused it and everything, I'm like, is this Master P? I hadn't heard his voice in a while, you know, you don't hear Master P too often,
right?
But I'm like, this sounds like Master P, and if it's not Master P, it's definitely somebody from New Orleans, because that accent is ridiculous,
right? It's so thick.
But yeah, so I'm like, oh my god, that's Master P. So I'm like, first of all, New Orleans legend. Two, he's like dropping nothing but knowledge. Woo. I really love those interludes with Matthew and like Tina and stuff like that. But man, when I heard Master P, I'm like, this is so cool. And I really love how much she loves New Orleans. I feel I've always felt like being from New Orleans, New Orleans is one of those like forgotten cities of the South where people love to come here, but it's not as popular as like Atlanta.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it's like, but people love to come here just as much as they love to go to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And people love, like, celebrities can come to New Orleans and hide in plain sight there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They won't be harassed by people. A lot, you know what I mean? Like Solange, we literally almost everybody knows where she lives.
Right. Everyone has been to one of her parties. Like,
right. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It just felt really good to have that kind of like representation, because I feel like, especially like recently, you hear Big Frida on Target commercials. Mm-hmm. I literally saw a Target commercial the other day that had a Bounce song playing on it. And it's like, that to me, that's crazy, because I thought Bounce was just, you know, a New Orleans thing, Louisiana, you know, a Louisiana thing or whatever. So to hear those things and just to know that people all over the world are listening to a New Orleans legend like Master P, you know, in 2016, talk about, you know, hardships in the community and stuff like that, man, it felt really good. Like, I was like, man, shout out to Solange, because that's my dog.
Look, like, it was amazing. And like, I read an interview that Solange did. It was her... Miss Tina, I have to call her Miss Tina,
yes.
And writer Judnick Maillard, she kind of interviewed them, and Tina was also asking Solange a few questions about the album, and Solange was just talking about specifically like just how New Orleans inspired her and how like she felt like she needed to go back to her roots, you know, with, you know, her grandparents her mom on her mom's side were from Louisiana. New Orleans, you know, area specifically. She was just talking about, like, New Iberia and how she had a studio in New Iberia and, like, all these things. And just, like, hearing how, because, like, you grow up in Louisiana, and I feel like sometimes, or for me at least, like, I never understood how rich the culture was. Like, I that I didn't understand, but I just feel like I took it for granted a lot. And as I've grown up, I definitely see the beauty in Louisiana more.
Yeah, definitely.
But it just feels so good when I see, like you said, just Solange weaving this into her artistry so deeply and just hearing her talk about how inspired she is by it. Like, it truly makes me feel proud to have been born and raised there, you know?
Yeah.
That was a huge aspect of it that was just like, you know, okay, like, again, this is for us kind of thing. But like you mentioned, so like the interludes and like Tina's. By, like, I feel like I just want to play Tina's anytime I'm feeling down.
Yes.
I've always been proud to be Black. Never wanted to be nothing else. Loved everything about it. Just, it's such beauty in Black people.
I just felt like it was, I was being like, I don't know, it felt like it was my mama, you know? It felt like it was my grandmother that was talking to me. And it was just like, damn, you know, like, you're right, girl. Black is beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
It is what's up. Is.
I would not want to be any other kind of woman than a Black woman. Like, right. I'm just so...
And that's what that interlude made me feel like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that interlude didn't make me feel like that for the first time. But...
Yeah. Just hearing it, yeah, like you said, like, it's not that this is the first time, but it just, hearing someone break it down like that and just, like, listening to that, you know, as you're listening to this music, like, it just... is just something, sometimes you just need a reminder, like, this world isn't always trying to, like, support us, so it's just hearing someone remind you of how beautiful your Blackness is so necessary and very appreciated, 100%.
Okay, so you said your favorite was FUBU, and I did want to make a comment on the fact that BJ the Chicago Kid's voice is one of my favorite, like, new voices.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I heard him was on Chance the Rapper's Acid Rap. Mixtape, and I remember being like, damn, he sounds really good, and he sounds so good at the end of FUBU.
And we bomb on site, we must draw. Host of my emotion is your call. Liquor in my system, we must brawl. Addiction, disobey the law.
Like, I think I tweeted, I was like, BJ the Chicago Kid's voice sounds like home. Like, it's so, his voice is, like, really comforting. And I don't know, like, that was just a perfect person to put on the end of that song to me.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy The Dream, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like all the features on this, whether they were blatant features or, like, the background vocals with, like, Tweet.
Perfect.
She had Kelly Rowland popping in. You know, even if it was just a couple seconds, like, or, you know, it was kind of hidden underneath production a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the features were very, you know, perfectly placed to me. Like, I didn't feel like I didn't have, like, I had too many features or, like, there wasn't enough Solange or, like, you know, whatever. Like, I felt like this album was very well produced.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the credits and Rafael Sadiq wrote a lot of it. So, like, shout out to him because I really like him. And he was recently on Luke Cage. So
I saw him on there.
I've had a weekend full of him. But another one that stood out for me was obviously Don't Touch My Hair.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bop. Like, even if the lyrics weren't what they are, I really like the production. Sampha makes great music. Yeah, I really like Don't Touch My Hair, and I really like the visuals that she put out for that and Cranes in the Sky. It's just, man, it just, like, this album is not for everybody.
It's
at
not.
All. And it's like, it's just, like, there's no way that you can, certain people can relate to certain songs, you know what I mean? And I don't, that feels good, you know?
It feels
so good to
good.
Have something that's, like, for you, or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I think that's one of my favorite, you know, things about the album, on top of the fact that I had just really been waiting for a Solange album.
Yeah. And it just sounds like fall. Like, there aren't many, like, very up-tempo, you know, springy type tracks. I think Junie might be like the most up-tempo song, and even that just kind of takes you back to like Soul Train or something. Like it's very like auntie. But it's this song just is very like it's a soundtrack that I needed for fall.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, it's not too in your face. It's just a very, very easy listen, but still with such strong messages, which is like, I don't know, the way she was able to balance that and still get what she needed to say across, even though it's, you know, a little bit understated in as far as, like, it's not too loud or in your face. Like it's,
To Pimp
that
a Butterfly.
To me is beautiful. Yeah, exactly. That's a good comparison.
Yeah, I saw somebody compare the two, and I'm like, yes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I really wish I could have gotten into To Pimp a Butterfly more, but I felt like he was yelling at me the whole time.
Yeah, and so, you know, I
like,
can't...
He was, like, force-feeding it to me.
Right.
But with this, it was just really easy listening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are great, you know? She wrote... She said she's been writing this album for the last 4 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go through a lot of stuff in 4 years. Oh, yeah. I mean, she got married and moved to New Orleans and like all of these different things. So it's really nice to hear the growth in her music, you know, being a fan from like Sandcastle Disco.
Oh, yeah. And to, I Decided. And
yeah.
All those
to like
great
from
songs.
Like 6 o'clock blues and stuff like that. Like all of those songs, honestly, those still great songs, you know, but to see the growth and stuff is just really great.
Yeah, you can truly hear and see her growth. And yeah, with any artist, that's one of my favorite parts about being a fan is just being able to see that over time. And like it makes you feel like proud, like I'm proud of Solange, like for what she's able to do. Because, you know, Solange, there's a reason why this didn't come out in 2008. Like she had to do some growing. She had to get in touch with who she was as a woman, and she had to get married, and just all these different things like had to happen to create, you know, a seat at the table. And so I'm so thankful that she was the one to like hand this to us. And I still haven't fully processed the album. It hasn't even really been a week.
Yeah.
So I'm just like really excited to continue listening to it and continue to be blessed by
today its existence. I felt like I was like falling in love with Weary a lot more.
Oh yeah. And
really
for me,
the
it's
melody.
Rise.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, as we listen to it, I'm sure we'll have more songs that we'll really, really love. But I feel like Cranes in the Sky will remain my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so damn relatable.
Same
like,
with me
y'all,
for FUBU.
I ran my credit card bill up. Listen, if you saw my credit card bill right now, listen. It's just so, yeah, it's like super relatable. And I usually don't like music that's really relatable. I don't know why. Like, I like for it to be like a broad type thing with music, but that song just speaks to me.
It hits you. It hits you.
I'm telling you, she wrote that song with like everybody in mind. We've all been through that stuff.
So, yes, thank you, Solange.
Shout out
to
you, girl.
But my flop of the week actually is related to this.
Okay.
Because... So this tweet came across my timeline because people were dragging this dude who basically was, he had this tweet thread where he was rating the album.
Oh,
so,
I saw.
Yeah, and so he concluded at the end of his thread, he was like, be honest, y'all, how many of you would even care about this album if Beyoncé wasn't Solange's sister?
Oh, shut
like,
up,
like, you wouldn't, he was basically like, if Beyoncé wasn't Beyoncé, like, you wouldn't care about this album. Well, first of all, you can like them separately and the world will be okay. Like it's not the end of the world to like them separately, but also like they're just such different artists.
Right. If they weren't sisters, their albums wouldn't even be compared.
They wouldn't be compared because they're completely in completely different zones. And he also was probably not around back in like 2008 when we were listening to like Sandcastle Disco. And I decided like sometimes when I'm deep into Solange's stuff, I don't even remember that she's Beyoncé's sister.
Right.
The majority of my Solange fandom has never, like, Beyoncé is not a thought at all.
Right.
With the majority of it. Like, I'm just not even thinking about her. And with most people, it's very similar. And so, and I know a lot of people who love Solange and don't like Beyoncé.
Yeah.
And because that's just how different they are when it comes to, like, the music they put out, their whole aesthetic, their brand, et cetera, whatever you want to call it. It's just so different that there are some people who just don't even care about Beyoncé and actually dislike her who love Solange. So it's just like, I'm just like, can you just stop being such a man and let us have this moment? Like, just let us have this moment. Stop being annoying.
I saw people dragging him on Twitter.
Right. And so I'm just like, I just can't deal. So, like, anyone who, for me, it's like I appreciate the Knowles sisters, you know, separately, but all like together in some ways because, you know, they're kind of like yin and yang. Like, they are so different, but they balance each other out in a certain way when it comes to, like, their contribution to pop culture, especially being Black women in the industry. Like, they provide certain things that Black women need that aren't exactly the same, but are both very equally necessary. And so it's just like, you know, I don't think it's fair to compare them because they just both... their own artists, and, you know, if she's not worried about being compared to her sister, then I don't know why you're trying to force something to happen.
Exactly.
So anyway, this man, I don't even remember his Twitter handle, he's the flop of the week for me.
Well, mine isn't related to Solange or music at all, actually.
Oh.
My flop of the week goes to cyclists.
Oh my God.
I am so sick of almost hitting people on bikes as I drive in the street.
Yeah. See, okay. I haven't driven in forever, so I can't even relate, but...
Listen, okay, y'all. Last week, I almost hit 3 people. 3! On bikes. 3! That's ridiculous. And it's
That's
like,
insane.
Okay, I should be able to see you in my blind spots. I should be able to see you in... Well, no, I should be able to see you in my mirrors. And then if I turn and... You're not even in my blind spot. You're too damn close to my car. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had this guy that was like, literally, he was almost, I almost felt like he was on my car, like holding on to my car using me as a boost. Like, I almost hit him. It was ridiculous. I literally, like, my heart was beating so fast when that man, I almost hit him. Oh my God, I'm thinking about it now and I'm getting like stressed out about it. But yeah, my flop goes to cyclists that are just not good at being on the road with cars.
Right. Oh, well, I'm sorry that happened, and I hope this cyclist wasn't equally scarred, but he probably just rode away.
He probably does it like that all the time.
It's okay. Just listen to Cranes in the Sky and to get your nerves back in check.
So shout out to everybody that has been listening to the show. And
yes, this was our 5th episode.
Yeah,
it's
we
crazy.
Made 5. We're making 5 today. So thank y'all for listening, and tell your friends, tell your mama.
Rate us on iTunes. Could rate us on iTunes, we would so appreciate it.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Tweet us when you're listening to the show. The last episode, I was like reading live tweets, I guess, when people were listening to it. And I really enjoyed that. That was funny. So yeah, tweet us at The Fan Podcast on Twitter. Mm-hmm.
And you can find our personal Twitter accounts in the bio for that.
Mm-hmm.
We should also give a very special shout out to our DJ.
Dion
is the
DJ
best.
DJ Magic. that was so funny.
That was the perfect plug. But yeah, DJ she's Magic. On Twitter and SoundCloud at your girl DJ Magic. She produces all the intro and outro music that you hear on the episodes, and she has some pretty bomb ass mixes on her SoundCloud that you guys can listen to. She's also hilarious, so like you will not make a mistake in following her on Twitter. And other than that, thank you for listening.
See y'all
next time. We're really excited for what we have in store, but don't get your hopes up because I don't want to let y'all down. But
that was funny.
I'm excited about it, so just keep listening, and have a good week, y'all.
Bye.